Good day to you. God bless you. Say welcome to the Shepherd's Chapel. Welcome to this family Bible study hour. Back in our Father's Word, we're in the 19th chapter of St. John. We just covered the part where the Roman soldiers were gambling for his cloak. And I took you back to Psalms 22, which is his words on the cross. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? That was the words of David, not Yeshua, Jesus Christ. He quoted that entire psalm down to the final line, which is, it is done, which is the equivalent in Hebrew of the Greek, it is finished, which we'll cover today. And therefore, I have to say, every word in Psalms 22, he repeated, so that you would know that the very crucifixion itself was written of line by line 1,000 years before the fact. And now we return to the 19th chapter. We're going to pick it up in the 25th verse after they're parting his garments there, gambling, fulfilling that prophecy. So we pick it up in 19 verse 25, a word of wisdom from our Father, and it reads, now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother, that it would be Mary, and his mother's sister Mary, the wife of Cleophas, and Mary Magdalena. This other Mary was Salome, which was the mother of John and James, is what I believe. And of course, Mary Magdalena, a lot of people think she was a prostitute. She was not. Nowhere will you find it written that she was a prostitute, but that she had 7 evil spirits. And Christ healed her of those spirits. And she, after that, was always very faithful to him. Verse 26. When Jesus, therefore, saw his mother and the disciple standing by whom he loved, that would be John, he saith unto his mother, woman, behold thy son. In other words, it has come to this, and here is your son. But he's talking about, he's turning her over, asking John to protect her. 27, then said he to the disciple, behold thy mother. Said to John, behold, this is your mother, treat her that way. And from that hour, that disciple took her unto his own home. He took care of her and took that responsibility. 28, after this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, he said, I thirst. Now, this also is scripture. It's Psalms 69, 21, 22. I'm going to turn there, and it reads, 21, they gave me also gall for my meat, and in my thirst they gave me vinegar to drink. That's a poor man's wine. Sour wine, it's called. 22. Let their table become a snare before them, and that which should have been for their welfare, let it become a trap. And that's what worshiping the false Messiah will do to you. You know, you think it's Jesus and you worship him if you're not taught properly. And when you think it's the Savior, ultimately ends up being your downfall. A real trap. Why? Because you didn't read the letter. The letter God sent to you chapter by chapter and verse by verse, so you wouldn't be deceived. You know, Father, in the simplicity in which he teaches, it's pretty difficult if you study the word with common sense to mess up that bad. But believe me, when the false Messiah appears, the majority, as a matter of fact, the book of Revelation says the whole world wonders after him. So there you have it. Now let's fulfill the prophecy of 69. Verse 29, returning to John 19, listen carefully. Now there was set a vessel full of vinegar, that's again sour wine, a Roman soldier's poor man's wine. And they filled a sponge with vinegar, wine, and put it upon hyssop, and put it to his mouth. Verse 30, and when Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, "It is finished." And he bowed his head, and he gave up the spirit. I want to say, it makes me very uncomfortable. I know that your word says ghost there. Now, what is in the manuscripts? Pneuma. What is pneuma? Well, have you ever, what kind of tires do you have on your car? They're pneumatic. Air. Okay. So, and in the Hebrew, what is the name of spirit? Ruach, which is wind, air. So it shouldn't be changed to a spook, because Christ is no spook. He has a beautiful, holy spirit. And that spirit can touch you, can lead you, can guide you, and so it is. But I must insist, though, that you note it is finished. It's the equivalent to the last line in Psalms 22. It is done. Therefore, documenting that he spoke and brought forth in teaching the entire 22nd Psalm, even down to the last two verses, which said, "He has set aside a generation, and he will count it as a generation." That's the generation of the fig tree that would be born umbilical cord to umbilical cord and would bring forth this word. He's talking about his elect in the end times that would stand against false teaching. So then, 1931, it reads, the Jews, therefore, because it was the preparation that the body should not remain upon the cross on the Sabbath day, for that Sabbath day was an high day, besought Pilate that their legs might be broken, that they might be taken down. In other words, to guarantee that they were deceased and to take them down. What is a high Sabbath? Well, the Passover, which is the high Sabbath of all Sabbaths for a Christian, always falls on the 15th day of the new year. And the way your calendar works out, that you hang on your wall, it moves one day every year. Like if it's Monday this year, it'll be Tuesday next year, and so forth. So in the Passover week, you will usually have two Sabbaths, the high Sabbath and the regular Sabbath. So you'll need to remember that as we continue. So that's what a high Sabbath is, though. It's the day that Passover falls. Why? Because Christ became our Passover. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7 and 8. What is Passover? It is, if you don't have him as your high Sabbath, you don't have any rest. That's what Sabbath means, is rest. And if you have Christ, you can find peace of mind. Verse 32. Then came the soldiers and brake the legs of the first and of the other which was crucified with him, a malefactor on each side. 33. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was dead already, they brake not his legs. They didn't have to. This fulfills the scripture, and I'll talk about it in a minute. In other words, you can't. He was the sacrifice of all times. Never after this would there be any more bloodletting required by God. Christ's blood filled for one and all times blood sacrifice. But that sacrifice could not even have a broken bone. It had to be perfect. So this was even fulfilling that scripture. Verse 34 to continue. But one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith came there out blood and water. Verse 35. And he that saw it bare record, and his record is true. And he knoweth that he saith true, that he might be, that ye might believe. Verse 36. For these things were done that the scripture should be fulfilled, a bone of him shall not be broken. And of course, that's written in Exodus chapter 12, verse 46. You cannot have a broken bone in a sacrifice. Verse 37, and again another scripture saith, they shall look on him whom they pierced. And of course, that's back in Psalms 22, verse 16 and 17, speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, his words on that cross. And you can find it also in the book of Revelation, chapter 1, verse 38, to continue. And after this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews, that is to say the Eudans, the Kenites were mixed into it, besought Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus. And Pilate gave him leave, and he came therefore and took the body of Jesus. How did he do this? What gave him that right? Kinsman Redeemer. Now we're going to go to history away from the Bible. Why is it in Glastonbury, England, they have all these ancient markers of a man in a sailboat with a 12-year-old child, approximately, in the bow? Because it was Joseph of Arimathea, the tin man who owned tin mines around Glastonbury, England, and was very wealthy. And this boy traveled with him quite often. They still sing that song in Glastonbury of Joseph the Tin Man. And naturally, to claim a body, the nearest of kin has that right. And therefore, Joseph, being Mary's uncle by blood. Now, that's not biblical, that's historically. Then certainly he was kinsman redeemer that could claim the right to take the body of Christ. Verse 39. And there came also Nicodemus, which at the first came to Jesus by night. He was a believer also, and brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100-pound weight. Very expensive. But he was prepared for burial in the right way. Verse 40. Then took they the body of Jesus and wound it in linen clothes with the spices, as the manner of the Jews is to bury. And you'll remember back with Lazarus, he was bound in linen where he couldn't walk, but Jesus said, come forth, and a divine miracle brought him forth. So here Christ is prepared, and the burial takes place. 41. Now in the place where he was crucified, there was a garden, and in the garden a new sepulchre, wherein was never man yet laid. Where is that written? It's Joseph of Arimathea's tomb. It's fresh. It's never been used. It was set aside for him. Do you know where that's recorded? It's recorded in Isaiah 53. And I'm going to take you there. Isaiah 53, and we're going to cover that segment of how he came to be buried there. And let's just read a verse or two. You won't have it. Listen carefully. Isaiah 53:1. Who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? To God's elect, of course. For he shall grow up before him a tender plant, as a root out of the dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness. When we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He was perfect. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. They didn't stand by him. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. He was crucified. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He didn't have any. He was bruised for our iniquities, our sins. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. That's the way you have a healing. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He could handle it real good. Here's why we came here. 7, he was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. We covered this a lecture or so back. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. Remember, Pilate even said, don't you realize this is serious? You need to defend yourself. But he wouldn't open to fulfill that prophecy. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? We shall. For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgressions of my people was he stricken. And here's why we came here. He made his grave with the wicked. There was a malefactor on each side. And with the rich in his death. After death, he was buried in a very rich man's tomb. Because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. And God approved of that. But I know we're double emphasizing in places, but I want you to realize there was nothing that was not written. That's why you can trust God's word, because he forewarns us of all things. Have you read it? That's when Christ would be asked a question, he would say, haven't you read? Because it is recorded. The thing is, every move, and so it was. Now let's complete the chapter of 19 with verse 42. In verse 42 would read, there laid they Jesus, therefore because of the Jews' preparation day, for the sepulchre was nigh at hand. It was very close, and it was easy to go from the skull, Golgotha, to Joseph of Arimathea's tomb, and there he was buried. Chapter 20, verse 1. The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. Now, I have to make a correction here. I cannot let this stand. The word week is not in the manuscripts. It is Sabbathon, which means the next day after the high Sabbath. So the week has no article in the manuscripts. You can check that out real easy. Take your Strong's Concordance, check out the word week, and you'll find out that it is Sabbathon, which means the high Sabbath, the next day after. She comes there, this Mary Magdalena, how true she was, this one that had 7 demons, and Christ touched her and cleansed her. And here she came to seek and to know. Verse 2, then she runneth and come to Simon Peter and to the other disciples whom Jesus loved, John, and saith unto them, they have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him. It's very difficult, even though he promised he would return. They cannot seem to grasp the resurrection. Verse 3, Peter therefore went forth, and that other disciple, and came to the sepulchre, Peter and John. Verse 4, so they ran both together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter, and came first to the sepulchre. Verse 5, and he's stooping down and looking in, saw the linen clothes lying, yet went he not in. Everything was lying perfectly as it should have been, only Christ was gone. And many think this is where the shroud of Turin comes into play. Well, be that as it may, it is a possibility. Verse 6, then cometh Simon Peter following him, not quite as quick, and he went into the sepulchre and seeth the linens clothes lie. I mean, just in perfect order. Verse 7, and the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in the place by itself, just right there where it had been. Verse 8, then went in also that other disciple, John, which came first to the sepulchre, and he saw and believed. Verse 9, for as yet they knew not the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. Do you know where that's written? I think it's important that we go there. You'll find it in Psalms 19, and so it is. He went there, and I think it's Psalm 16:10 where we're going to go. And 16:10 reads, for thou wilt not leave my soul in hell. That's the grave, sepulchre. Not the word hell as we think of hell today. Suel, grave. Neither wilt thou suffer thine holy one to see corruption. My flesh body is not going to do as most flesh bodies return back to dust. Thou wilt show me the path of life, and thy presence is fullness. And my pages stick together. And so it is. Fullness of joy at the right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. In other words, his body did not deteriorate. He was transfigured. And even this was portrayed long before the fact. Do you remember when he took these disciples to the Mount of Transfiguration and what happened there? All of a sudden they observed there was Moses, there was Elijah, and there was the Lord Jesus Christ glowing in transfigured bodies. And certainly, you know, Elijah never died. And Christ was transfigured as well. I believe Moses was also. What we have here is Moses, the lawgiver, Elijah, the prophet, and the Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior. But what would have happened if his body had been left in the tomb and it deteriorated? Who could believe that he resurrected? God did not wish to take any chances on that. So he prophesied long before in Psalm 16:10 that his body would not deteriorate, that he would be taken. If I remember correctly, in Acts chapter 2, it also states that David, in the genealogy of father, his body dissipated back to dust, but not the Lord's. So, he having been transfigured. So, whereby man could not lie and say, well, he's dead just like anybody else. So, there you go. He had that... He had that ability and did go strict directly to the Father. We'll read about that here in a moment. Verse 10. Then the disciples went away again unto their own homes. Own home, that is. Verse 11. But Mary stood without at the sepulchre weeping. Mary Magdalena. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre. Verse 12. And seeing two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet where the body of Jesus had lain. Verse 13, and they say unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? And she saith unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. She cannot grasp yet. You know, here she's weeping. And the greatest gift to man has just been paid, that Christ resurrected, that he defeated death and brought salvation to whomsoever will. There was sure not a time of weeping. And yet at the same time, with Mary, as loyal as she was. 14. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing and knew not that it was Jesus. I mean, he was crucified. She didn't expect to see him standing there. Verse 15. Jesus said unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thee? She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, Sir, if thou have borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. I'll claim the body. I'll take him away. I mean, he was buried in a rich man's tomb, and I'm sure there's many things going through her mind. Did they put him out of the rich man's tomb because he didn't claim to be rich, though he was in many ways? And so it is that her mind was, she didn't even recognize the Lord Jesus Christ. 16, Jesus said unto her, Mary. She turned herself and said unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. She recognized him. 17, Jesus said unto her, Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father, but I go to my brethren, and say unto them, I have ascended unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. One of the few places he referred to him as God, but after having said Father. Many people misunderstand this, because they're saying, don't touch me. No, he's saying, don't hold me up. I have to go now, but I will be back. So he would ascend to the Father and complete the transfiguration and would return. 18. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things unto her. 19. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, you remember and understand, when the doors were shut, I want to repeat that again, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, I want you to know every door was shuttered and locked and windows, so nobody could see in or nobody could go in or out. Came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. How did he do that? How did he come through the wall without a door being opened? That is, if you do not understand different dimensions, that would be difficult because he had been to the Father and was transfigured. And which does it mean? The wall wasn't there or Christ wasn't there? And the answer is neither of those is correct. The wall was there and Christ was there, but we're speaking of two different dimensions. And that is a lesson here that Christ would want you to know, that because he is now in his spiritual body transfigured. But what was his message? Peace be unto you. That's his wish. And when you have understanding of the scripture, even though times may be troubled, with him we have the victory. So you don't weep necessarily, and certainly you know peace is with us. Verse 20. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. They knew it was Him. They were filled with joy. He had defeated death. He had resurrected. He was standing before them. They had witnessed the crucifixion in part. 21, then said Jesus to them again, "Peace be unto you." Second time. "As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you." Well, what is a sent one? A sent one is an apostle. That's what the word apostle means, is sent one. And that's what God's elect are today. He sends them with the true message. Peace be with you if you are in Him, if you are in the Father. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. And that was His message. After paying the price on the cross for every one of us, after being denied and after being ridiculed, we see the love of our Father, where He would say, instead of addressing down, saying, "Peace be with you." In other words, He knew and He understood. And that peace lingers and stays with God's elect as He sends you to plant seeds, to take that truth. Verse 22, and when He had said this, He breathed on them and said unto them, "Receive the Holy Spirit." And so it was that He was preparing them that He would be with them for 40 days. And then 10 days later, 40 and 10, He would tell them, don't leave Jerusalem. They would receive the Holy Spirit, which is to say on the 50th day, which is 50 in the Greek, is Pentecost. That's what it means. Pen is 5 and Pentecost is 50. So on the 50th day, you would receive that truth. How precious it is that the Spirit came and enlightens us, teaches us, leads us, and we can understand why He calls Him the Comforter, because He comforts us. Don't miss the next lecture. Listen a moment, won't you please?
The Mark of the Beast on CD is our free introductory offer to you. What is the Mark of the Beast? Many false teachers would have you believe it will be a tattoo on your forehead or a computer chip implanted under your skin. It is getting late in the game. You need to know what the Mark of the Beast is. As it's written in Revelation chapter 13, verse 8, many will be deceived. There is no need for you to be deceived. Christ said in Mark 13:23, "Behold, I have foretold you all things." Jesus indeed told us how not to be deceived, and Pastor Arnold Murray takes you on a step-by-step study of God's Word concerning this critical subject, the Mark of the Beast. The telephone call is free. The CD is free. We don't even ask for the shipping and handling. It is free as well. All you need to do is call 800-643-4645 to request your one-time, one-per-household copy of the Mark of the Beast. You may also request your free CD by mailing your request to Shepherd's Chapel, Post Office Box 416, Gravette, Arkansas 72736. Don't be deceived by Satan.
And there we are back again. Let's have the 800 number, please. 1-800-643-4645. That number is good from Puerto Rico throughout the U.S., Alaska, Hawaii, all over Canada. If the Spirit moves and you have a question, share it. Won't you do that? Please never ask a question about some reverend or denomination. We're not going to judge people. We have a judge. It's our Father. Spiritual discernment, though, is a gift from Him, so that you know when you hear something, whether it's truth or whether it's fiction, what you should absorb and what you should cast out. That's a gift from God that you can use. Those of you that listen by shortwave around the world, it's always a pleasure hearing from you. And your announcer at the end of the hour will give you our mailing address. Now, you got a prayer request. You don't need that number. You don't need an address. You just need to talk to Him. You don't even have to say it out loud. He's a heart knower. He knows what you're thinking even. No one can ever prevent you from praying. Don't let them. Father, around the globe we come. We ask that you lead, guide, direct, Father. Touch in Yeshua's precious name. Thank you, Father. Amen. Okay, and question time. Robert from Indiana. My wife died 8 months ago, and if I decide to get married, will she know about it? Well, I'm sure she wants you to be happy anyway. Your marriage vows are until death do us part. And then you're free to remarry. And she would not object. She knows probably you need companionship, somebody to help take care of you. And I'm sure that's what she would want anyway. So whatever you might think, she is in a spiritual body and has perfect recall, and there would be no objection from her. Harold from Tennessee, can you please explain for me Revelation chapter 20, verses 11 and 12? Well, that's where Almighty God opens the book. He appears at the great white throne judgment, and he opens the books of life. This is why I tell you, you can have your records in some church if you want to, called a church letter. That doesn't really count. Well, I shouldn't say that, probably. What counts is that book of life. It's kept in heaven. It's kept by our Father. And what's in it is your life. That's why when you repent, it's erased. And when you do that is good, praise God, it stays. And your blessings are given to you at judgment. Many people receive so many good blessings then at judgment. Why? Because they earned it. And, of course, naturally, those that have done bad, the book doesn't mislead. It's right on point. Greg from Oregon. Noah and the flood and Job being tested, was this after Satan was cast out? No. Noah's flood, Satan had already sent a lot of fallen angels. Nephilim, from the Hebrew root napa, which means fallen. And they were seducing the daughters of Adam. And Geber, hybrids, were being born from this. And it totally destroyed the coming of Savior, if that were to continue. So God put a stop to it. But the casting out of Satan, you see, it happens again. And it doesn't happen until the sixth trump. But I think probably what you're thinking about is when Satan tempted Christ and he said, "Get behind me." So Satan was still present on the earth when he went into the wilderness and tempted Christ. What did he tempt him with? Scripture. He quoted Scripture. Psalms 91 and a few other verses. But he always twisted them where it turned it into a lie. And that's when Christ said, "Get behind me." Where is Christ? Right hand of God. Satan's back behind, being helped by Michael and his angels, until Revelation chapter 12, verses 6 and 7 come to pass. Barbara from Missouri, will we be helping during the millennium to restore the earth? No, you better leave restoring the earth to Almighty God. But you will be helping teach people, helping people. That is our God's elect's position, is to help people. This is why it is written in Ezekiel 44 that some of your very nearest relatives that maybe are having trouble, you can go to them and get on their case. Teach them a little discipline. Straighten them out. Let them know which way they're headed. This is final. And what a time that will be. And it is coming. But God himself rejuvenates the earth. Awesome. We will be in spirit bodies at that time. And the earth will be put back into its original position, the firmament where it's supposed to be. Maggie from Florida. Okay. Thank you for your comment. When the Antichrist arrives, do we need to have a food supply for 5 months or 2.5 months? Thank you. Well, you know, you kind of leave that to your own choice. At least have 3 or 4 weeks. You want to do that in case of storms or truck strikes or what have you. Always have your pantry stocked, and that's just wise. Okay, this would be Peter from North Carolina. When I pray to our Father, I talk with Him about all things pertaining to my life and so forth. However, in Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 2, it reads, "Let thy words be few." Does this mean all words or just rash words, as in verse 1? Well, I think you're misunderstanding Ecclesiastes 5. What did it say back in verse 1? It says, when you go into the house of God, then verse 2, let your words be few. There's nothing wrong with praying at home, wherever you are, but if you go into the house of God, you go in there to listen, not to talk. Okay? Because it's almost impossible, if your words are going to be many in God's house, you're not going to learn a whole lot. So therefore, he's saying, when you go to church, when you go into God's house, that's the time for your words to be few. In other words, you listen. I hope that helps you. Lanier from Texas. Can a man commit suicide and still go to heaven? From what I understand, only special cases. Lanier, there are so many things in this generation. We have so many toxics, medications that cause toxins in the system, chemical imbalances, until some people will do this when they're not in their right mind. It is not our right to judge anyone, because God is judge. And suicide is murder. You murder our friend when you would take your own life, and God has a purpose for everyone. But at the same time, we leave the judging concerning chemical imbalances and minds damaged. We leave that judgment to the Father. It's not our right. So we'll let Judgment Day come to pass, and there you'll have it. Okay, from Karen from Arkansas. Pastor Murray, when we take our last breath, God takes our spirit from our body. How do we rise out of our graves if our spirit is gone from our body at the grave? Without this spirit in our body, how do we rise out the sound of God's trumpet? Well, you to be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord, and this flesh body goes back to dirt. Okay, you're through with it. If you breathe your last breath before that trump sounds, you're already in heaven. And your flesh body, you are through with it. It goes back to dirt from whence it came. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 6 and 7. Your spirit instantly goes back to the Father from whence it came. That meaning spirit what? Spirit is the intellect of your soul, meaning your soul and your spiritual body returns to the Father from whence it came. Well, what does that mean? It means you came from Him. You didn't come out here from a rock, under a rock somewhere. You're a child of the living God. So the seventh trump, it says, we who are alive and remain cannot precede the dead because they go first, meaning they're already gone. They're out of here. There's no way we can precede them. They're a long time gone back to the Father. But then at that time, we also ascend and are changed into spiritual bodies. Okay, this would be Alice from Indiana, I believe it is. Question, are you ever going to be on regular radio or on the internet? I have friends who do not get the TV channel as you are. Well, we're on quite a few radio stations. We're on shortwave radio 24 hours a day. We're on the internet already. We have our own site, and certainly it is our official site and our only official site, copyrighted and ready to go for their convenience. And it's real easy to find on the internet. And Sarah from Tennessee. Dear Pastor Murray, my name is Sarah. I'm 12 years old, and I've written you before, and I have yet another question that I'd like you to answer, please. You said that God will use earth for us to live on. Well, 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 10 says different. Please explain. It says earth will be destroyed in flames. How will God use the earth if he plans on destroying it? Well, I want you to go back and I want you to read that 10th verse all over again. It is the elements. That word is the rudiments, the bad stuff that is burned. As this is why, darling, we have the example of the three Hebrew children in the fire, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that they were in a fire heated seven times hotter, and they weren't even singed. Well, that's the way God's elect are when the rudiments are destroyed too. And as it is written in Revelation 21, this earth is our home. And it will be rejuvenated back to its original form. Okay? Good to hear from you again. Gladine from where? Don't know where Gladine is from. Okay, I am waiting for someone to ask what will happen to the heaven that is up there when God sets up his kingdom here on earth. Well, you just ask it, and the heaven that is up there now, it means a period of time, eon. Heaven is wherever God is. And when God ascends the full Godhead at the end of the millennium, he does not return until the end of the millennium, then heaven will be on earth because God will be on earth. Again, I'll repeat. Heaven is wherever God is. And when you're dealing in dimensions, you want to be very open-minded. As an example, Elisha and his armor bearer, they were attacking a whole army by themselves. And the armor bearer says, "Whoa, let's hold this up a minute." And Elisha said, "God, can you take the curtain down and let him see what's above us in that dimension?" And God did. There was a whole army up there. And so heaven is wherever God is. Okay, we got... I'm looking for a name, and I do not see one. I've been studying with the chapel, but I still feel like I am dumber than I... can of worms. Well, I surely not that bad, okay? I would like to know if a person is baptized by another Christian, is it okay to be one-on-one, or is it necessary to have spectators? You don't have to have spectators. But the baptism is between the person and Christ, okay? Even the person that's doing the baptism, he's not a part of it other than officiating. But the baptism is between the baptizee and the Lord Jesus Christ, okay? Also, is it okay to go under, forward, or backward? Usually backward. But now, let me say, I always teach that any Christian can baptize another Christian. But now, a lot of churches will not accept that. So you might as well know that coming out the gate, that... most churches would not call that a lot of churches wouldn't call it a baptism. We do, because it's just between you and the Lord Jesus Christ. Robin from Washington. When the two olive witnesses arrive, will you all be able to broadcast what they have to say to the church? Also, when the office of Antichrist, the fake Jesus boy, arrives. What measures will you take to keep us informed, or will the Holy Spirit do that through you? Because fake Jesus boy tries to shut down your broadcast. Well, he may try and he may get it done, but God will be totally in charge and control. We are not to premeditate what we will say and or do as you are delivered to witness. But you will know when the two witnesses appear, ultimately. They are supernatural and you could not help but know. But Satan will have a very difficult time dealing with the true church and those two witnesses. It'll be an interesting time. But the Holy Spirit arranges everything. We're not to premeditate anything other than to be ready. D from Virginia. Do I understand correctly that the battle of Haman Gog will take place before the tribulation of Antichrist? No, absolutely not. If so, do you think this so-called sequestrian will be used to weaken our military? No way. We will always, it is biblical, protect, we will always control our gates. Okay? So, but definitely the Antichrist comes before Haman Gog or Armageddon, either one of them. So you can rest assured of that. Politics have very little to do with the movements of the Holy Spirit, other than as he sets up the one world system. Okay, this would be... Okay, I'm not sure. This would be Camelita. Okay, can I find Jesus Christ B-day in the Bible, King James Version, birthday, okay? Or should I look off in the Companion Bible or where? I have heard you say conception was December the 25th. If you have a Companion Bible, go to the 179th appendix. And you'll learn more about the conception and the birth date than maybe even you wanted to know. But it is complete. You can get it from the King James Version if you hear me teach the first two chapters of the book of Luke. It is documented there very well because of the course of Abia. That's a date, okay? The course of Abia is a date that is very well known. Carol from New York. I heard Pastor Murray say that there were 7,000 fallen angels who followed Satan in the first earth age. And if Satan deceived a third of God's children, does this mean there was only 21? No. Only 7,000 left their place of habitation and came to earth to seduce women. Okay. This has nothing to do with the children that simply disobeyed. These are the ones that in spiritual bodies, meaning they totally knew better, left their place of habitation, as it's written in Jude, the book of Jude, right before Revelation. They left their place of habitation, and that causes them to be locked in chains for destruction. There is no judgment day for them. They are gone. But there was only... How do I know there was 7,000? Because 7,000 die when the two witnesses rise from Jerusalem. That's Satan and his cronies. Revelation chapter 11. Matthew from Idaho. If you are a Kenite, can you still go to heaven? Absolutely. Whomsoever will. If one is born of Cain, if they still love the Lord Jesus Christ and believe upon him, that's the point. You can't con him. If they believe upon him, they have eternal life. And that's God's promise. Jim from Texas. Is there anywhere in the Bible that says there will be babies born in heaven? Absolutely not. There is a scripture that says young people will play in the street, and it's an allegory, it's a figure of speech, meaning it'll be so safe there a child could play in the street. But we're all the same age there in spiritual bodies. The spiritual bodies were created in the first earth age. They looked young then, and they are still young today, and they will be for an eternity, because spiritual bodies do not age. Bruce from California, do I have to ask God before I can become a member of Shepherd's Chapel? That's the only way you can be a member. You got to ask Him. And if He approves of you, we're going to accept you. You're a member. That's why this is called Shepherd's Chapel. The shepherd is the Lord Jesus Christ. So just take it up with Him. And if He approves of you, you're in. And God bless you. Okay, hey, I'm out of time. I love you all because you enjoy studying God's Word chapter by chapter and verse by verse. Most of all, God loves you for it. Hey, you know what? It makes His day. And when you, I'm talking to you, when you make His day, boy, is He going to make yours. You can count on it. Now, we are brought to you by your tithes and offerings. If we have helped you, you help us keep coming to you. Once you do that, when you bless God, He will always bless you. It is priceless having His Word as our guide, as our rule on how to live and to be blessed. So bless Him. He will always bless you. Most important, though, you listen to me. You stay in His Word every day. And His Word is a good day, even with trouble. Know why? Jesus is the living Word.
Hearing God's Word with understanding will change your life. We hope you